This is WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings. An investigation by the New York Times reveals that Governor Andrew Cuomo and his top aide frequently interfered with the commission he had created to root out long-standing political corruption in Albany. That meddling included requests to have subpoenas withdrawn and suggestions of ways to go after state lawmakers. Suzanne Craig, one of the reporters who worked on the piece, joins us. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
In announcing the formation of the Moreland Commission, Governor Cuomo told reporters last August that its members could look at anything they wanted, including his office, but that wasn't true. One example you give happened when the commission wanted to subpoena the ad-buying firm Buying Time. What is Buying Time, and why did it come under scrutiny?
Well, Buying Time is a media buying firm, so it buys ad time for political campaigns. And they were interested in it not because of anything to do necessarily with the governor's office. They were just looking at the type of ads that were being placed. So they drafted up a subpoena in September of last year. The subpoena went out on September 20th, and almost immediately a call went into the governor's office and then went out of the governor's office to one of the co-chairmen of the Moreland Commission. And he was asked, "What are you doing? Like, what is this? Didn't you know it was the governor's media buying firm?" From all we can see, that they actually, that the investigators who subpoenaed Buying Time didn't actually know of its connection to the governor's office, but because it had a connection, it caused furor, and the subpoena was almost immediately withdrawn.
How was Governor Cuomo's office finding out about the board's work in the first place? Couldn't it have worked with more secrecy?
That's a great question. The governor's office had essentially a pipeline into the commission. There was an executive director. Her name was Regina Calcaterra, and she was reporting back. You know, some of the staff said almost in real time the things that were going on with the investigators. So they would be running their investigations, but she had full access to what investigators were looking at, and we could channel it back to the second floor at any time that they wanted to find out.
The second floor being Governor Cuomo's office.
Being the governor's office.
In Albany, yeah.
People became so paranoid, some of them would say it was almost like she was, you know, live tweeting the meetings back to the governor's office.
How did the co-leaders of the Moreland Commission feel about the governor's interference? Did they try to bring their concerns to him?
They did. We reviewed a lot of emails where there was just the tenor of the emails, which is people were just really frustrated. The three co-chairs would talk amongst themselves and just say, you know, this has got to stop. So one of the co-chairs suggested that they go and set up a meeting with the governor. And they did. In mid-September, they went to see him, and they arrive at the office. And before they go to see the governor, they see Larry Schwartz, the secretary to the governor. He is a man who is much more powerful than his title suggests. He's basically the second in command after the governor in terms of the state politics. And they go into the meeting, and they sit down, and they're very frustrated. They want Regina Calcaterra, the executive director. They sort of bring up the topic of her and all the problems, and they sort of, you got to knock off the interference kind of thing. They have this huge discussion, and they were told in the meeting before they go to see the governor that the governor's off limits and that they should be looking at the legislature. And Mr. Schwartz, the secretary to the governor, also makes it clear to them that Regina Calcaterra is going nowhere.
And was that their understanding when they were appointed, that the governor's office was off limits?
No, and this has always been the tension of the Moreland Commission and of the investigators. I mean, a lot of these people and the three co-chairs, two of them were at the time district attorneys. When we spoke to them, they described this as like, you know, a sort of a dream come true for them in terms of the ability that they would have to clean up Albany. They were incredibly excited about it, and they felt that they could investigate anything. In fact, that was their marching orders from the governor when they took the job. So there was a high level of tension that they were getting. Subpoena after subpoena was just getting either pulled back or getting blowback from the governor's office whenever sort of it came close to entities that touched him.
Governor Cuomo has defended his involvement in the commission, telling Crane's New York that it was his commission and he had a role in saying what it did. Does he have a point?
It's definitely, it was a creation of him, but I think he made it at the outset. He said it could investigate anything and that it would be independent. And he now, in a statement to the Times and it's online, says that, in fact, it never was independent because it was a creation of his.
The Moreland Commission is long gone. Governor Cuomo disbanded it, but it's not the end of the story. U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara is looking into the commission's work. What is he focusing on?
He's focusing on two things. He's, one, looking at the issue of the involvement of the governor's office in the creation and the running, and then the abrupt dissolution of it in March. And then he's also looking at the unfinished business of the Moreland Commission. They had a number of investigations going on, and he just wants to see what was there and is it are there charges still to be brung.
Suzanne Craig is a reporter for The New York Times. Thank you so much, Suzanne.
Great. Thank you very much, Amy. I appreciate it.
This is WNYC.